Hello, it's Christine. I'm sitting with Paul Southers again in his kitchen. Now, Paul, last month you told us of a trip that you went into Manchester for, what, a drop-in centre?
It was an exhibition, Site Village.
Organised by the Queen Alexander College in Birmingham. It happens every year in Birmingham, and we're hoping that it's going to be an annual event in Manchester. So, and that was for the general people with sight loss. Now, you, John Taylor, Douglas Simpson, and Linda Carol Bentley went to Wakefield. What was this one in Wakefield?
Right, okay. So, hello everybody again. This event was the national conference for the Talking News Federation. So, a lot of listeners won't probably know what the Talking News Federation is, but there is a national body which all the talking newspapers around the country are all members of and affiliated to, and every year they have a national conference just like all the political parties and everybody else. So, and
there was a name in that list that I get said that people might not be familiar with, and that is Linda Carol Bentley.
Yes,
I've met her once.
Okay.
Can you say who she is, please?
Yes, well, Linda, as the newest member, as a trustee of the Talking Newspaper, she's also involved with the Blind Society. So
Welcome to her.
Yes,
welcome.
So hopefully people will see her around at events. Linda, as a professional life, was in dealing with, on the legal side, with people, vulnerable people, and which could include children and also disabled people. So she's got a lot of expertise in that side of things, and also that's where she has an interest in the Blind Society. And at the moment, whilst maybe listeners have not heard her name very much, she's been helping us very much. There are new regulations that charities have to comply with, and Linda's been doing a lot of excellent work with both the Blind Society and the Talking Newspaper on making sure we're meeting new guidelines.
We thank her for her time and her trouble, and welcome, Linda.
Okay.
So the four of you trotted off to Wakefield.
That's right.
And you sat there. Did you walk around, and
it's a full day event. So I should start to say that with it being a national conference, this was a full weekend event. There was people there from all over the country. There was 150 people at this conference. So, you know, the room was very full, and it's quite a big event. You know, there were a lot of talking newspapers.
You tend to think that there's only, You're in your own little bubble
we are quite a small newspaper. We've got around 50 listeners. That you know, some of the larger ones have 500 listeners plus, you know, so some of the big city talking newspapers. So, you know, it's overall quite a big organisation. Say 150 people in the room, of which 100 were there for the whole weekend, staying in the hotel resident, and then there was about 50 people who were just day visitors like ourselves. But as I say, a full day event. We had to be there for 8:30 in the morning for registration, so it was a bit of an early start for trustees. We're not used to getting up at that time in the morning. And we were there until it finished about 4:30. You know, so it was a long day.
But and one of my favourite broadcasters was one of the main speakers, wasn't he?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes, well,
Peter White.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Peter White. Yes. Some listeners may know if they listen to Radio 4. I must admit, I'm not a big Radio 4 listener myself, but he He has a programme called In Touch, because Peter's blind. He's been blind all his life, and the In Touch programme is very much about talking about issues affecting blind people. I know you and Christine have a programme that you enjoy as well.
Yes, he does a lunchtime programme as well on Radio 4, about 12:30.
Yes.
Where he does, I think it's called You and Yours.
Okay.
And he hosts that. Doing Braille, I think, as I
right.
understand it, it's all Braille.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, so Peter is the president of the Talking News Federation. He has been for a long time. And being a professional broadcaster, he was quite an entertaining speaker to open the conference. And he was talking about presentation skills and, you know, the art of reading well. And
I think he was quite controversial, wasn't he?
Well, he was, because what he was actually saying is that, you know, a lot of people are not naturally good readers. And this got on to a debate on the subject that, actually, whilst people volunteer to read and talk in newspapers, there are examples out there of people who volunteer to read, but are really, if we're being honest, not actually very good
at
reading.
They're underprepared usually, aren't they?
Well, yeah, one common thing is, you know, not even looking at the content before they start to read it. And what Peter said was that, Tobin in Talking Newspaper, 50 listeners, you know, you could arguably say, well, you know, I'm doing a good service, I'm volunteering to do this, but, you know, there's only a small audience, so it doesn't really matter. But what Peter was saying is, well, you're giving a performance when you're reading the news, just the same as if you were standing on a stage in a theatre. And that was kind of the message he was trying to get across.
Yes, yeah. And it's a good message. I think we are very fortunate in our readers in Tobin. So
yes.
we'll thank them now. This is Peter White talking to the conference, not us talking about Tobin.
That's right, so. Yes. And he did also, just one amusing tale he gave towards the end. He's quite a witty speaker. And he's saying at the BBC every year, they come around asking for staff suggestions on programmes, sort of a programme to do that's something completely different. And Peter said this lady came along to him one day saying, right, have you any suggestions for this year's, kind of to throw into the pot of new programmes to look at? And he said, well, how long have I got to think about this? And it turned out he'd basically got about 15 minutes before the deadline to put this in. And so he just thought, well, this is crazy. He said he went onto the internet and he just thought, well, let's just come up with the craziest idea I can think of. And, just to waste a bit of their time, but they're just going to throw it out as being ludicrous. So he came up with this idea in 15 minutes of blind man trots around the globe, and he just didn't give any detail. He just basically put that in as a suggestion for a program. Anyway, a few days later, he found out, to his absolute amazement, they actually bought into the idea, the BBC, and as a result of that, he's been having to travel all around the world. And the idea for this program is, it's travelling as a blind person, and he goes and visits all these different places around the world. But it's, for a blind person, it's not about what you can see, it's about what you can hear.
Smell.
Yes.
Smell as well.
So, I'm not quite sure when it's coming out. It will be coming out presumably on Radio 4. But, it was quite amusing though. He'd thrown this idea in, deliberately playing devil's advocate, expecting them to throw it out, saying that's a stupid idea. And next thing you know, he said, it's my fault entirely, but I'm hardly at home at the moment because I'm having to go all around the world.
And of course,
it
was in Wakefield, so
yes.
you were welcomed to Wakefield, I think, were you, by the editor.
Well, he was one of the headline speakers as well, yes. And listeners may not be as aware of this as the volunteers are, but finding the articles to fill the Todmorden Talking newspaper is becoming a real challenge, because you know the amount of content in local newspapers, printed local newspapers these days is pretty scarce. You know, because of financial cutbacks, there's not really any journalists working.
So thank goodness we've got things like the Bumblebee coming through.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you take this Bumblebee with you?
Well, no, I didn't have it then.
Oh, right.
Because the Bumblebee...
we're going to talk a bit about the Bumblebee.
We'll talk about it, yes, sorry. The Bumblebee, I didn't take it to the conference, because it was a bit... We knew it was a full day. But there was a man from British Wireless for the Blind there who was talking about the Bumblebee. And, you know, as soon as I got home, I've been using it. You know, I've been using it since, and I've been taking it along to drop-ins for other people to see.
Yeah.
So hopefully one or two listeners have already had a play with it.
Handled it, yeah.
Yes.
So for the people who haven't been to the drop-ins, can you just describe it for us, Paul?
Well, the Bumblebee, for people, I'd say, I'm guessing my reputation for a technology man... back again here, but this device, it's a touchscreen tablet computer. So for those people who are interested in these things, it's actually a Samsung Galaxy tablet. So that is a top of the range tablet computer. This particular model has got a 7-inch screen, so it's a lot bigger than a mobile phone, but a lot smaller than a laptop.
I suppose it's about the size of a small book, isn't it?
Although, in fairness, you know, I think some teenagers, that's about the size of their phone these days, isn't it? But that's another story. But anyway, so it's a tablet computer. But the important thing with this Bumblebee device, which I want, you know, I want as many listeners as possible to see this over the coming months, is that it is designed for people who've never used technology before.
Now, these are the Bumblebee settings. Paul's going to press the various places on the screen. There are three distinct areas on the screen: a black with white lettering, a yellow with black lettering, and another black with white lettering. And he's going to just scroll through for us, and you can hear the various things that you can get on this Bumblebee.
Yes, and I might just quickly add that the reason for those colours is that for people who have any residual vision at all, those are commonly the easiest colours for people to see. And they are very large print as well, so anybody who's got the slightest bit of residual vision would probably be able to see as well as hear what's going on this. But I'm just going to... All I do is I just quickly touch. I don't keep my finger on these items. I just touch.
1 Bumblebee Community. 2 Bumblebee Podcasts. 3 Bumblebee Online. 4 Bumblebee VI. 5 Bumblebee Books. 6 Bumblebee Help. 7 Bumblebee Local TN. 8 Bumblebee Radio. 9 Bumblebee Settings.
So I'm not going to go any further than that today, but behind those subheadings, there's a lot of content. There's some talking books on there. For example, if you're of the Christian faith, there's the entire Holy Bible on here that you can listen to. All the BBC, well, all the radio stations worldwide, you can potentially get on there. Podcasts, you know, BBC On Demand radio stations, as well as every talking newspaper in the country. So, you know, it has got potential, yes. We still need to work on it a bit and give feedback. There's some areas where it doesn't work so well. For example, we were just recording earlier and it froze on us mid-conversation, which was not what we wanted on a live recording.
We've had to ask Peter Gibson, the lovely... technical,
yes.
Peter Gibson to edit this for us.
And we should say, we were good to say as well, of, you know, whilst we talk about Peter, that, you know, what an excellent job he does. Because one thing that I've now been to two conferences for the Talking News Federation, and what's very clear to me from going to those and all the discussions and workshops that take place is that whilst with 50 listeners, we are probably one of the smallest talking newspapers in the country. All the work we do and the content that's on our newspaper is really is second to none, and, you know, is probably better than some of the larger organisations. And the one thing that really makes our talking news stand out from anybody else is the magazine section, and Peter is the editor of that magazine section, and we were talking about this earlier, Christine, weren't we, and saying, you know, what an excellent job. Christine was trying to be modest and saying, well, play down her part with the interview she does, but Peter...
Yeah, he's the editor. He's got... He does all... It works magic. Yes. It makes magic. Unfortunately, you were saying earlier that the content, news content, is getting more and more difficult in the local paper. I suppose that most of the young people are using social media, aren't they, or the phones and things like this?
Well, they are, yes. I mean, it's a lot of it's, you know, young people use social media. A lot of newspapers now have moved online as well. But, you know, this is where John Kennelly, who was the editor of the Wakefield Express, was talking about the challenges on the industry from a financial point of view, you know, the traditional... income from printed newspapers is falling substantially, and there was big profit margins in that. With online content, the profit margins are much narrower, and they're in competition with people like Google for advertising space. But one thing he was talking about, though, is how he was very passionate that in Wakefield, he felt, well, his journalists, and, you know, he does seem to have journalists still in Wakefield, what an excellent job they did in challenging, you know, people like local councillors and making sure that the news put out in Wakefield was a very high quality. And we just want to end on an amusing tale here on that point, because he was taking questions after his speech he'd given, you know, talking very passionately about the excellent work that the Wakefield Express do and the journalists do for that. And Douglas Simpson, our secretary, stood up and said, well, you know, it's quite interesting to hear what you said there, because, you know, our experience, you know, we're from the Todmorden Talking Newspaper, is that our local news is... the quality and content of that is declining and making it very difficult to get enough worthwhile articles to fill our monthly edition. And Douglas talked about what he called an increasing trend of advertorials, as he calls them, which is basically where you've got an article written, and it's clearly been written by a local business, supposedly as an article of general interest, but if you read in between the lines, it's actually a free advertisement for the business. And the amusing thing was that the John Kennelly, he actually admitted in front of this 150 people, well, actually, I've got a vested interest here, because I'm also the editor of the Todmorden News and Advertiser.
But he's in Wakefield.
So he's the editor of the Wakefield Express, and he... was talking about how busy he is, you know, with all the work he does with the Wakefield Express. And then he admitted he's also the editor of Todmorden News. And I'm sure we didn't push him on this point, but he's probably the editor of several other titles as well.
Ouch! Ouch!
But I just thought with that, well, that just about sums it up. I guess, you know, 15 minutes on a Friday afternoon before he finishes work, he thinks, I'd better edit the Todmorden News now.
I think now Douglas Simpson's put him on the spot.
Absolutely.
And I think that the Todmorden... newspaper will get extra special mention.
Well, we'll be talking about that for years to come as well, yes.
Ouch.
Yes.
A painful goodbye from Christine. Thanks very much. Thanks, Paul.